Hi, my name is Joe. I'm an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 9/9/20. I don't know if this is going to help or not. I'm really just excited to be here to support my friend I met through recovery, Derek, the next speaker. But I'm here because, you know, they say get comfortable with the uncomfortable, and I'm here now. So anyway, I'm just going to touch briefly on, you know, growing up. I just have 10 minutes, so I'm just not really going to get to how it is now more than anything. But my home group is, for the first year of sobriety, was Alano YPG, Friday night, 8 o'clock. And right now it's the Thursday night, 7 o'clock, St. Pete Men's Group. So anyway, I grew up in upstate New York, and I have one brother. And when I was, you know, my family's all from up there, and then getting to the age of 15, my father had to transfer jobs, moved to Spring Hill, Florida. I didn't know a lot of people. I finished high school in Spring Hill. You know, as far as alcohol goes, probably started when I was 15, just regularly, you know, just drink on the weekends with friends, didn't see it as a problem, didn't have many consequences, and drank up until, you know, graduation, went to a community college, and didn't have a whole lot of purpose in life, was just going to school, mom wanted me to go to college, I didn't know what I was doing. I was attending EMT school at the time, but through EMT, I started using opiates, and I became dependent on opiates and benzos from the ages of 18 and 19. And at the time, I didn't know I was dependent. I was just using them every day to fill like whatever emptiness I had. And it's just really what I was doing. Not really doing much of my life. Just the same, like life was on repeat every day. Work, do something I didn't want to do. And it's just, I had the obsession of using every day. And once I turned 20 years old, I decided to join the military. I joined the Marines, not even to serve our country, really. It's just like just to get away from where I was living at the time. So anyway, I joined the military when I was 20, and I served 3 years. So in that time frame, I lived in North Carolina. I went to school in El Paso, Texas, went on one deployment, and drinking was just like a regular day, you know, regular occurrence after work daily, just often, like it was no problem. It was almost frowned upon to go to meetings out there. They would kind of like blackball you, like put you in like some special program, and you know, you couldn't move up in rank. It was just a weird time. This was 2010. But during that time frame, I got back from deployment and just was, I still didn't have any consequences from drinking. I wasn't using drugs in the military, but I decided to get married for the wrong reasons. So I was getting meritoriously promoted to sergeant. You know, a lot of people in my field were getting married, moving off base, getting money. So I said, yeah, I did that. I wasn't thinking straight. I didn't listen to any advice from, you know, my first sergeant. He said, you know, he definitely said no. And so did everyone around me. My friends, I don't listen to anybody. I'm stubborn. And I'll get to that here in a little bit, why not to be that way. But anyway, so as far as my military career goes, I got an other than honorable. It's like I didn't even serve those 3 years. I got out, and I was resentful at myself. But at the time, it's like, you know, it's the military's fault. I got discharged for using drugs in the military. I failed the UA. And anyway, so I leave North Carolina, go back to Florida. You know, it was weird. You know, I felt ashamed. But I kept moving forward, and I'd have my stints back and forth. I'm 34 now, so this was 10 years ago. I was 24. And during that time frame, you know, within a year, I got a DUI. And then life after that was just kind of like, it was just really a blur, just having no purpose. And I've tried, you know, I would try to quit on my own, right? You have a bad night at the bar, and it's like, I'm not drinking again. Maybe I'll go a few months, but I never went to the rooms of AA until, I got really my sober date was when I started, you know, going to AA and following the program. So I'm gonna skip over some of the stuff. I got the DUI, didn't have my license. It took me a while to dig myself out of that hole. Really just, life didn't get better until I got sober. So Let's see. So I got sober on the 20th September of 2020. I worked construction that day. It was a Thursday. I worked construction that day, and then I would go in like my construction clothes and be a bar back at a bar and grill, Sunset Bar and Grill. So I'm like pouring drinks, picking up, you know, swapping out kegs in my work boots, and I start drinking like the second I get there. So at 5 o'clock, pouring drinks, work until 2 or 3, and I'm riding a bike to work as well. So I just remember drinking, and like it's wing night Thursday, so I'm cooking wings, and somewhere from midnight to like 2, I blacked out. I wake up. I'm also in 2020, I'm bouncing around between like 8 different houses, like at my girlfriend's at the time's house, friend's house. Right now, at this specific day, I'm at a friend's house for the last couple months, and I pass out. This is during COVID, right? Well, it still is, but this is when COVID was really prevalent, and I pass out wearing my mask. My girlfriend at the time wakes me up. I don't even remember how I got home, right? So I'm not really caring about my safety, riding a bike, blacked out. And I wake up Friday, I'm like, shit, I need to like really do something about this. In the past, the courts have, you know, I've had the alcohol monitor on my ankle, and they've recommended go to sober living or, you know, stay longer in jail, and I would get a lawyer and just like serve probation miserably and then go back out to drinking and using. But anyway, this time it was Friday, and then like I wake up, I start drinking, of course, after having a terrible night, but I end up calling my mom, and she knows I've had a problem, and it's like kind of gave up on me, but she came right over, and she started making phone calls and found me a treatment center. I went to Turning Point of Tampa. I did 30 days there. I went to detox for 5 days prior to going to Turning Point, but I went to Turning Point, and it was just like I was fucked up. I couldn't hold my head up watching these Zoom meetings. Like I was just like really shot out. But you know, I went through the motions. Got my sponsor while I was in treatment there. Like within, you know, 5 days, I got a sponsor, and like they're telling me to call random people. I'm calling these dudes, just talking to them, and they're just, you know, slowly telling me about the program. So I do my 30 days, and like in my head, it's like, all right, cool, I'll go get an apartment, whatever. And like 5 days from leaving Turning Point, they recommend a sober living. And, you know, at this point, I've tried so many things besides, you know, going to treatment and doing all this. I said, you know, let's give it a go. So I went to Real Recovery in St. Pete, and I had a really good experience there, and I'm actually still there. But yeah, great experience. There's 50 guys there. Everyone's working for the same goal. Everyone's all kind of in the same boat. But yeah, so I worked with my sponsor. As far as working the steps go, I kind of like, you know, getting sober, you start, you know, your patience starts building up a little bit, you start feeling a little bit better. But like every month, like first month, it's like, man, all right, second month, all right, feel better than I did the first month. Like every month slowly gets a little progressively better. And with, you know, working the steps, I was able to let go of the anger and guilt and shame. It's like you get rid of, you know, you get a clean slate, and just keep doing the right thing, and everything, you know, eventually gets better. Like the whole cliche of like, oh my God, if I can do it, you can do it. And like I would hear that all the time, you know, early sobriety during these speaker meetings. I'm like, oh, whatever, man. But yeah, you put in the work. I don't even like using, you know, the phrase put in the work, but like if you just take suggestions from others and just follow, you know, some of these people that are doing the right thing and doing well, life gets awesome. But yeah, so where I'm at now, I'm still working towards getting my license. It took me 8 years, and then I've been sober for a year and a few months. So I finally can go to the DMV next month and you know, like a responsible person, drive a vehicle. It's been a long time coming, and yeah, I'm excited to be here. I spoke for the first time at Alano on my 1 year sober anniversary, and I'm pretty sure I sucked, but coming up here is awesome. Like I said, I'm here to support my friend Derek. I've been in recovery, and you know, my first, I'll put a number on me personally, 9 months of like being sober, it was just really about you know, just getting by, paying the bills, and like diving into recovery, you know, going to the meetings, and you know, just following your sponsor, and you know, some other people are doing really well, you know, taking the steps serious, and right off the bat, just get into them, and you know, talk to your sponsor about them. I came up here, like last time I spoke, I had all this stuff, I'm gonna go over, and it didn't play out that way. So I walked up here today, I'm just really just saying what's on my mind. So anyway, first 9 months, I just, you know, I kept my head down and just took suggestions. I really just let everything I thought I knew, let it go. And, you know, it seemed to work for me. Anyway, so, you know, with life before previously, it's like I was just looking for, you know, a quick fix or pleasure at that moment. And now it's kind of like, you know, helping the next person and having a purpose, whether it's in your job or just, you know, in your life in general. So I'm going to leave with that. Thank you.